Hey there, spooky friends, and welcome to another episode of the Scariest Podcast.
Woo!
I'm Robin Grace, this is Adam Diaz, and Hello. This is our fifth year anniversary
Indeed episode. It is.
5 years of this show. It's been a long one.
It has, yeah. So for those of you who've never been with us for an anniversary episode before, we're not doing a topic. We're just going to go over a bunch of questions asked to us by the wonderful spooky friend community, and Robin and I are just going to bullshit. We're just going to hang out and sort of just kick back, relax, look back at the year that's been and reflect on it. So I got to say, it hit me today when I was thinking about like, okay, we've been doing Scary-ish for 5 years. That means we have been doing Scary-ish for over 50% of the time we have been together.
Wow. So, nice.
Yeah, we got together at the beginning of 2013. Which means we're coming up on our 10-year anniversary, but if we're hitting the 5-year anniversary of Scary-ish, it has been present in our lives for over half of it. So it's pretty intense. Like, that's a commitment that we've made to this whole thing.
It is. It has been a commitment.
So, yeah. I don't know, man. It's been a crazy year. Before we jump into any of the questions that we have, because we have a lot, it's definitely been the hardest year, I'll say, that we've done Scary-ish. As evidenced by the fact that this is episode 252 and not episode 260, which is what it would have been had we not gone on hiatus in the middle of the year. And you know, we missed a chunk of time, for the first time since we started doing the show, which was definitely necessary time to take off.
It was necessary time to take off. It, I mean, there were a lot of life changes too, you know,
yeah.
Career changes.
It's been a lot. So. You've had two new jobs since the last time we did this, which is pretty cool. You're living in California and I'm still here in Las Vegas. So that is not cool, but we'll get to that in a little bit. But yeah, it's definitely been some of the most traveling I've done too in a single year. It's the most flying, the most times on a plane, not the most miles traveled for sure. Because LA to Las Vegas and vice versa is not very far at all. But I did that flight a lot this year. So it's been a bit fucking crazy, which I think will be reflected in some of the answers. So we have two spots where we collected questions, and Robin's going to be reading the questions that we got on Facebook. I'm going to be reading questions we got on Discord, and we're just going to alternate. And I insist, Robin, you go first. Ladies first.
All right. I have not read these questions yet, so
I have read most of them. I have a couple that I have answers prepped for because I was so excited when I saw them get asked. Okay. So,
okay. All right. So maybe I'll save this top one for last. I don't know if you want it.
No, it's got to go first. Yeah.
All right. So the first question of this episode is going to be, once you move to California, will you begin doing live episodes again? And they say, I miss seeing your faces every week. We miss streaming every week. It's just been really exhausting working and dealing with, you know, being separated and things like that.
Yeah, for sure. Aside from the logistics of it.
But surprise, Adam is moving out here finally.
It's kind of funny, too, because like we had discussed whether or not we were going to talk on the show about the fact that we found a place that we're going to move into together out in California. And Robin's like, no, let's not talk about it yet. Like, once it's done, we can bring up like, hey, we're in the same room again. And it's cause we're, you know, together in the same house again. And I was just like, all right, cool. Like, we have a lot to focus on. So I'm like, not going to argue it and not going to belabor the point. And when I posted these things, like, hey, ask us questions so we can read them on the show. The first question we got was from 911 girl, Robin's aunt, who had insider information that asked us a question about something we had not yet brought up on the show. So I thought, like, I showed it to her. I was like, this is just fucking hilarious. Like, who would have guessed it? But yeah, honestly, when it comes to the question itself, I would like to, absolutely. We didn't stop doing story times for the record because of like schedule conflicts or burnout. We stopped doing them because we didn't have emails to read. We do have some now. I think we have enough for maybe 3 episodes. So we can probably toss those into January for January Patreon push once we're all settled in the new place.
And, yeah. So if you folks have some stories or of experiences, things that have happened to you, send them our way. So we have more live streams, more story time episodes.
Yeah. This is a good time where if you've been saying like, oh, I've been meaning to write you the stories, definitely do. if you're like, you know, you have a friend or a family member who has a story, go to them and say like, hey, you should write it up. I'd like to send it to a show and you can hear it be read. And that would be super awesome. As far as like gaming live streams and things like that, we were doing a lot of horror games before. It'll be a lot easier from the same house, having two different internet connections from two different parts of the country and trying to get us both in the same spot playing the same game was definitely very difficult. And we tried it a few times. We had it work a few times, but in most cases, like, it's very, very hard to do. And so that's kind of why those went by the wayside. And Robin had other shit going on her Saturdays anyways. It's not like that's something that she wouldn't have just said, you know, oh, I have to do the stream instead. But when everything started to break down and more responsibilities started to be stacked on top of us, we're like, we'll just postpone these two. Like, we'll wait a little bit. So yeah, I would love to stream a whole lot more once we're under the same roof. So
yeah. Whoop, whoop.
Right on.
It'll happen eventually. All right. Okay.
I'm next.
You're next. Okay.
The first question I have from Discord. And this one says, this is probably a creepy question, which you love starting off a question like that. Having done research on scary-ish things that have occurred anywhere from the last year to over hundreds of years ago, what do you guys think historians will get right and wrong about the two of you if they had to learn about your lives from things you've left behind?
I think, I don't know what they could possibly get wrong. Because if all my stuff, like, say this was, I don't know, if it was like a Pompeii type thing and we all just got instantly covered in ash with all our stuff next to us, I think maybe what they would get wrong is that I'm a very hydrated person. Or I was the hydrated person, because I have like four tumblers on my desk right now, none of which have water in them.
That is a new development, and, though. For the longest time since I've known you, you've been a very dehydrated person.
No, so. I'm still a dehydrated person. That's why.
Oh, I get what you're saying. The evidence would show there's a lot of tumblers around you, but you're basically a walking mummy.
Yes, I'm very dehydrated. I don't drink enough water. But with all the tumblers and stuff around me, they would assume, you know, that I drank a lot of water. I don't. I don't know. I'm pretty straightforward. I think in the future they would be able to have like fossilized, you know, metadata, and they'd just be able to know who I was as a person. So,
okay, that's an interesting way to look at it. For me, I thought about like, what would they get right and wrong based off of the evidence they have from scary-ish. I think it's hard for me to say because I don't want to like get anything like too bizarre going on, but I think by the way we've represented ourselves in our show, it pretty much depicts who we are as people. You know, I don't think they'd get too much wrong. I think one of the main things they might get wrong if they're not paying too much attention is that we are like completely apolitical. Like the show is completely apolitical. We want it to be this place where people can come and discuss these things and be kind to one another. And, you know, I think the community is really built up around that sentiment. That said, like, you know, I have very strong opinions. I just never voice them on the show, which is very, very difficult. And especially in the political climate in the United States in the last like five or six years, actually, you know, my whole fucking life really, but especially in the last, you know, 5 or 6 years, we've been very much on the mindset of like, never bring it to the show. But then again, like if people want to know, like, I wonder what sort of things they support. Like we started this show 5 years ago. One of the first things we did was tell people, if you're writing us, let us know your pronouns because we want to know what we should call you. And like, I'm shocked we haven't been crucified for that because some people just get so angry if you ask them for their pronouns. And it's just like, okay, like if you don't give them to us, we're just going to say they, them, because those are neutral, you know? But it's something like, I had a friend reach out to me and he said like, why do you do that? You know, and like, sort of like grill me on it. Like, is it even necessary? Like type of shit. Like, and I was just like, we're just trying to be polite.
Yeah, it's necessary.
We're just trying to be polite. And if someone doesn't tell us what it is, we have to assume by their name.
We have made assumptions in the past on someone's name.
Yeah.
And we were wrong about that assumption.
And we've been called out like on live shows, like just so you know, like.
I'm a girl.
Yeah, I'm a girl. You call me a he, but it's okay. I get it. And like, I've had friends growing up named Ashley that were dudes. You know, I've had friends that were chicks named Jamie. you know, and it's just like, you just don't know sometimes. You just try and be polite. And I think we've kind of built the entire show around that. And I guess if you can form some sort of an alignment with that, that might be something they do, like future historians listening to the body of work that we have presented. But outside of that, I think if you're just looking at the work that we've like put across the Scariish, it's pretty much exactly who we are. There's no character that Robin and I play. Like, this is who we are. We might have presented incorrectly that we're more interesting than we are. I think that happens a lot when folks
people in real life, I'm just like, I am so sorry. We are the most boring people.
Yeah.
Because we're not interesting. We're weird. When I meet strangers, I talk to them like in a professional kind of way where I ask them questions like I'm interviewing them or like, you know what I mean?
No, I totally know what you mean. I do the same thing. All right. So yeah, I think that's a pretty solid answer for that. We'll jump back over to the Facebook questions. Robin, what do you got next?
Let's see. What accomplishment for Scariish are you most proud of? What would you say has been your biggest Scariish success? I think the coolest thing that we've done as a podcast is gone to the Winchester Mystery House and hung out with a bunch of spooky friends. I think that was the funnest thing we've done as a podcast, and definitely one, the most expensive, and two, the most just, I don't know, fulfilling as a podcast, getting to meet a bunch of people that actually like enjoy listening to us. And yeah.
Likewise, I really enjoy going to the Winchester Mystery House because it was like the first time we had like a spooky friend like trip. That said, I can't pick one or the other. It's like picking kids. But like, you know, the Spooky Con that we did
was really, I totally forgot.
Really amazing.
That yes.
We got
that
blown out probably there, you know, yeah, on the dollar of people we had never met. You know, Captain Fake Eye let us stay in her home. But with her.
I don't think that's an accomplishment for Scariish. I think that is more of a testament to the Scariish community and how absolutely amazing everyone is.
I think that's why I'm most proud of it, is like we made something that made people like us enough to want to meet us. And, you know, for anyone who's ever actually met me, that's an accomplishment, because most people are just like, I can't wait to get the fuck away from this guy.
But everybody that we met, everybody was so kind to each other, yeah, and we all had fun together. And
went to Eastern State Penitentiary, right? That's the one we went to?
Yeah, we went to Eastern State Penitentiary.
That's super cool.
Yeah, it was so cool. And it rained. It was.
We got out of there just in time because the storm poured in as soon as we got done with our tour. So, okay, we have a lot of questions. So I'm going to move on to our next one. Number one. Okay, so this person gave us multiple questions. I'll just go with the first one, then we'll bounce back and forth. Which topic has stuck with you in a good or bad way since you covered it in the podcast?
Why don't you go first?
So
let me think about this.
I have two, and I'll do good and bad. So as far as bad goes, definitely without a doubt, and I'll probably have to say this multiple times this episode, the true story behind The Exorcist. I think about that every time the house is too dark. Every time I'm going to the bathroom in the middle of the night and I'm trying to walk through the darkness and I see myself in the mirror and I decide not to look too closely, that is like the boogeyman that lives under my bed, that particular episode and the research I did. Because especially having a diary of the priest who was doing the exorcisms, and that actually exists that you can find, it's very frightening. And it feels very, very real. Of all the things I've covered, including all the possessions, like that was the one I did and I was just like, this shit's real. Like all the other ones, I'm usually skeptic. By the end of that one, I was just like so thankful that I have my protection against evil charm on my fucking microphone, because that one creeped the fuck out of me. In a good way, the Battle of Los Angeles, which I thought was just going to be something about was it aliens or was it not? And instead, it really turned into this like, you know, rabbit hole I fell down in the story. The script that I wrote is this kind of memento to immigrants in this country who were unjustly put into concentration camps and got out by serving their country and became the most, you know, decorated squadron in the history of this country. And I think about that a lot. And I've told that story a lot to people like after I learned it, because it was something I didn't know. So I really, that's the one that sticks with me in the good.
Nice. I'm not going to split my one into good or bad. But the one that's definitely stuck with me is the possession of Frenchie.
Oh yeah.
Because it was just so mind-blowing, like what happened in his life and the things he did.
That was episode 21. When people ask me like you know, if they're not, if they're looking to get into the podcast, they're like, well, I don't want to start at the beginning. Like, what episode should I listen to? I recommend episode 21 a lot because I think that you had a really good topic on that one too.
I just love that episode. And it's one of the more memorable ones for me because we have covered a lot of episodes.
Yes.
But it has stuck with me for sure.
Right on. All right. Your turn.
All right. So stemming off of the question of our accomplishments, right? This one is the biggest challenge that we've faced and what we perceive to be our biggest, scariest failure.
So as far as biggest challenge, I kind of started the show with it this year. The logistics of recording in two separate places is more difficult than being in the same room. I've done it before when I used to edit Nerd Chills. I used to edit people that were not recording in the same room, and that's not a big deal. But the live shows, doing the Storytime live shows was basically like having so many windows open. I was recording my audio. Robin was recording her audio locally. On top of that, I was broadcasting. So I had to do like the production thing. And what everyone saw of Robin was actually me capturing a window and having to have it pixel perfect of her Discord screen. So if her internet botched out in California, the broadcast to the entire world would fuck up too. And having, honestly, I think the biggest fucking challenge has been not having our normal banter this last year because it's really hard to play off one another with a 2 to 3 second delay. It's
yeah, definitely awful. I agree. The one episode that we had in the same room, it was so much easier and I thought it was so much more funny.
I agree. I got messages from people like, God, your banter was on point this week. As far as failure goes, the hiatus. Like, to be honest, like
I think, rough. Yeah, our biggest failure is we've been doing this for 5 years and we still aren't famous.
God damn it, man. We haven't gotten God our own TV it. Show yet.
All right. Your question next.
All right. Do you guys have a favorite topic that you haven't covered yet, but really want to? This is a really good question.
There are topics that I would love to cover, like, things like Scientology or things like, that are just really controversial that we just can't touch because I don't want them to at me. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't need Scientology coming after me. So, you know, there's things I would love to do that I just, as a small person with no money, don't want to risk.
I think the one that I think about doing a lot is Amelia Earhart. It's been on our topic list for a very long time, like years. I haven't done it, you know, because I worry that people won't want to listen to it. I worry that the episodes, you know, numbers will tank and I'll just be like, I just invested. Cause I know if I do the topic, I'll want to do like, you know, her life, who she was, not just, you know, her accomplishment, the journey she went on, and then really dig into the missing persons side of things. But I also think that people might see it and just roll their fucking eyes. So I try and do things similar to it to see how those episodes perform. But yeah, I'd say Amelia Earhart as a topic lives rent free in my head for sure.
All right. If you had limitless money for the podcast, how would you spend it?
Limitless money? I would turn Scary-ish into a television show, maybe a YouTube show, where we would travel around the world and check out some of these things that Robin was comfortable enough with, but I'd make it more about the culture of the place we went to get an idea of the background of why that thing is believed. You know what I mean? I think a lot of superstition stems from total the culture. Sense
because you need to meet the people there to understand why it is such a big deal for them.
I would love to just talk with people from these places rather than go in and exploit the town they're from to try and make it look like, you know, whatever is totally real and then fucking bail. And then once I knew them and of course ate their food, cause I just want to travel the world and eat the food that everyone has. Then I'd be like, now let's go investigate. And I think it would make for a really rich, deep storytelling experience where you can like get to know these different cultures. But most importantly, I think there'd be a lot of cases where you're like, ah, this is fake, you know, and it'd be fun. Like fucking Lizardman of South Carolina. You go to the festival, you talk to the people, you'd be like, whatever. It's fun. It's good tourism. I'm happy for these people. And, you know, you see a guy walking around in a costume, vice versa. You go to a fucking place you've never been. You try to talk people about it. They're scared to talk to you. It seems like they sincerely believe something. It makes it that much creepier when you actually go investigate it. Like, I think that would be amazing, but we don't have unlimited money, so I can't do that.
For me, my answer would have been totally different. It'd be like, one, invest in an actual home location. So just like have an office that we don't have to worry about like paying rent for or whatever, like we own it. That would be great. Invest in a better studio setup. So like a nice table for streams, chairs for streams.
Do you know how much a broadcast table costs? Like a newscaster where it's like a U-bend? It's like $5,000 to $10,000 for a two-seater where like you're looking at each other. So talking to each other feels natural. It's insanely expensive. Yeah, that would be
I would definitely invest in a better stream setup. But yeah, I don't know. You know, basic stuff. I didn't even think about big plans like making a TV show.
Yeah, I think big.
That's why we're a team. I think small.
If anyone big. Knows a producer out there in Hollywood with deep pockets, just play them that part of the show and let them know to reach out to us. Storytime@scariest.com is our email. Anyways, okay, so the next one. I would also like to point out the one that I read previously that says, do you guys have a favorite topic? It had a U in favorite. It was spelled like the other English way.
Favorite.
So it kind of threw me. The next question is, my question would be, if you guys were offered a movie or TV show, animated or live action, which network would you choose? HBO, Hulu, Netflix, etc.
Sci-fi.
What's that?
Sci-fi.
Sci-fi. I would go 100% HBO. Those dudes HBO, have deep pockets. People love everything pockets, on that fucking network.
But I feel like channels like Sci-Fi are very specific. People go to that channel.
I don't think it lends credence to your show. I think it makes people think of it in a campy fashion. Like, I don't watch a lot of sci-fi stuff. There are some sub questions that are very related to this that I think we should include with this.
Okay.
Which actor would you like to portray each other? So if this was like a dramatic thing where it was like fictional or creative nonfiction, like I'll let you say who you'd like to portray me.
No,
first.
I don't know yet. I got to think about it because like they've got to be like a little Latin, but like a little bit Taylor Lautner.
Taylor Lautner?
Yeah, Taylor like Lautner. Like the dude Jacob from Twilight.
Oh my God. I've heard he's actually super fucking cool. IRL. Still kind of hate you for picking someone from Twilight. So, all right. Well, then I have to choose an actor for you. They'd have to be Asian, obviously. I wouldn't want... You know what? Never mind. Scarlett Johansson. Boom.
No! Oh, the worst.
We definitely have to have an Asian actress. I don't know. Someone who has like a lot of charisma, who always acts like she's younger than she actually is. And most, you know, Asian actresses seem ageless. So I'd say Lucy Liu at her younger days, but she has way too many freckles. So it's like I see Robin as Lucy Liu's character in Lucky Number 11, who's like intelligent, talks a lot, and is just absolutely adorable, and everyone falls in love with her. Like, that's the sort of like person I'd see.
What about the mom from Fresh Off the Boat? Something Wu.
Constance Wu. Constance Wu would be pretty fucking cool. I think she's awesome. I think she's a little bit more like, what's a good way to put this without sounding like a dick?
Mature.
She's more, not mature in like an old way. She takes on more serious shit. You know what I mean? Like, I think if she was in it, it wouldn't be like something that could necessarily be as stupid as we are in real life. I think she's too smart.
We straight up dumb. Okay.
I don't know, but that would be pretty cool. If
all right, next sub question.
Okay, next sub question. That was actually the end of it. It was make sure Robin picks for Adam and Adam picks for Robin.
Oh, okay, cool. All right. Do you have a favorite moment or least favorite moment of the show or of a topic or something?
You want me to go first?
Yeah, you go first.
Least.
I mean, I can go first if you don't know.
I will go least favorite. When people give us really shitty feedback, like, it's one thing for people to give us feedback that's constructive. Like someone mentioned in a review, like, I don't like it when you guys do the voices on the live streams because it takes away from the seriousness of some of the emails you're reading. And we stopped doing the voices because of that. I was like, that's actually really good constructive feedback. I don't like it when people are like, I think this guy's fucking dumb, or I think this chick sounds fucking stupid. It's like, one, it's like they clearly don't know who we are because they're just calling us the guy or the chick. But it's fucking rude.
Plus, it's like one's an engineer.
Yeah, one's an engineer. One has a bachelor's from Purdue.
It's like, you fuck yourselves. Okay.
Yeah. So I'd say negatives when we get like shitty people who decide that they want to fucking tank our day. I don't actually look at reviews all that often because
I don't look at reviews at all. Yeah, period. I refuse to look at reviews because I don't want it to affect how I feel about the show or how I go into each episode every week. So
once you work your ass off on something that you're proud of and you get review bombed by a bunch of fucking assholes, like sexist, racist assholes, then it's like, I'm not going to check reviews anymore.
Yeah. Someone, when we first started, said that I couldn't like fight my way out of a paper bag or something like that.
Yeah.
And I was just like, okay, but whatever. But I think for me, my least favorite parts of topics would be like when I do true crime. And if it has to do with
children,
that bothers me a lot. But when it comes
Robin
to true crime,
Robin has deliberately skipped over, like just left out parts of Pasta Times before that were just like,
yeah,
a little bit too,
too much,
too much. Like, and I've been like reading along with her when we were sitting in the same desk and I've been like, that was a good choice.
It's funny because the next question on here is if we have a favorite negative review.
I actually do. Do you have one?
You do?
Oh, fuck yeah.
I don't. I hate them all.
So it's actually not a negative review. It's a negative comment. I had a review that was put on Haunted Hollywood. I forget which number it was, but it was the one about Superman, the Superman franchise. And it was like, I'm 15 minutes in and the fucking dude won't stop talking about Superman. What a goddamn joke. And I replied. I was like, in the first 90 seconds of this episode, I explained that Haunted Hollywood is a repeated series where we cover a franchise from Hollywood and why it's haunted. And the franchise that was chosen for this episode is Superman. If you would have listened for 90 seconds, you would know that. And like, he got a bunch of shit talked to him by some of our scariest followers. My comment got a bunch of upvotes. He got a bunch of downvotes. And after about 48 hours, he deleted it.
You deleted it.
And I was just like, yeah, that was pretty fun. Like, all I told him was facts. I wasn't mean to him about it. But it was very much just like, this fact makes you look like a fucking asshole, because he was. So that's my favorite negative comment / review.
All right. Your turn for questions.
All right. So my next one is, what's a cool fact you learned while researching an episode that you might not have learned otherwise?
We have a lot of episodes that happens in. I can't think of any off the top of my head, but like a lot of episodes that we cover when it comes to other countries and things like that, different cultures, we learn all these new things that I'd never heard of, or even topics in general. Yeah. When we're trying to find topics, it's like, I've never heard of this before. This is interesting. I can't believe I've never heard of it. It's just fascinating stuff. A lot of knowledge nugs. And every time Adam does the, you remember, blah, 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 year,
I remember,
right?
19, blah, blah, blah.
I also think those are really fun because obviously I wasn't alive in a lot of those.
I think my favorite things to learn, because like Robin said, we learn a lot, is from the superstition episodes. Because it's like everyone has very similar superstitions, but some of them are like, you know, different in some way. Some of them are complete opposites. And like some of them, like I do now, like I don't whistle at night. My mom was whistling a couple nights ago to the puppy, to Anya, to get a reaction, and she was whistling. I was like, don't do that. You're not supposed to do that. You don't whistle at night. And like, it's not something that before we started the show, I actually like adhered to. So I think that's one of the more fun things is when you learn about like specific superstitions from different cultures that wind up making their way into your crazy brain.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Doing the show, I definitely pick up a lot more kind of superstition type things, or I'm more afraid of certain things happening than I would be otherwise. Let's see. My question here is, how would your families describe Scary-ish? I'm pretty confident Spooky Mom knows it really well, but what about the others? I have a number of family members that have listened to my show or do currently listen to my show, our show. And I get a lot of recommendations, actually. They're like, oh, have you heard this topic or have you heard of this topic? And it's really heartwarming when people that I don't think would even care the least bit are actually like, I listen like every week, or I try to listen whenever I travel, or you know what I mean? And it's like, I don't know. It's so nice. I haven't had any family member go like, your show's dumb, I don't know why you do it, what a waste of time. Right. I have never had anybody say that. Either they don't listen at all because it's not their cup of tea, or they make an effort to listen here and there when they can, and it's just so nice.
I agree. Yeah, for me, I think most of my family doesn't listen.
Obviously, my mom does. Yes, you took that away in the question, so I can't talk about how she would describe it. But you know, some of my friends I've known for a very long time, and I do consider them family. And they both, like, I say both because there's two moments that stick out in my head. Like my friend Garrett, who you guys know, you know, if you listen to Twats to Twats, or if you listen to the episode where we did the Telltale Heart, he was the one that produced that and directed it. He reached out to me pretty early on, and he was just like, your show is really fucking good. And his life is podcasts. Like, he edits Hello from the Magic Tavern, amongst some other things. And, you know, he's an audio engineer, and he just reached out to say, like, it's really, really good. It's better than most of the shit I listen to, and I listen to a lot. And he talks to me every week. So I think he would probably describe it as, like, you know, a paranormal true crime, but most of it comes from the hosts, and we just have a good, you know, rapport with one another. And I think that's why a lot of people like it.
I mean, we've known each other for 10 years.
And we bicker and we're stupid together. And then I have another friend who reached out who was like, I started listening to your show just randomly. My friend named Tim, who's from Indiana. I've known him since second grade. And he reached out. I was like, I started listening to your show. I was like, oh, thank you, dude. And he's like, no, you don't understand. Like, I've listened to every fucking episode. Like, I'm listening to it again all the way through. And he just told me, like, you guys are really good. Like, I'm so proud of you. And to have someone, like, randomly reach out to tell me they're proud of me, I was just like, thank you. So I think, you know, good is how they would describe it. And I think that's enough for me. Like, that means a whole lot to me.
It's like, that's, I mean, it means a lot that anybody even, any of you listen. So, yeah. You know, you guys are awesome. Thank you.
For sure. Way to write a question that got us both slightly emotional. Mm-hmm. All right. I am up. You get to meet one cryptid, each of your choosing. They will be able to communicate fluently and intelligently with you. Which cryptid would you hang out with and why? Robin, you're up first.
Oof, I would hang out with Nessie straight up.
Right on. What do you think you guys would talk about?
Take me to the lock.
Right on.
I think I would ask Nessie a bunch of questions about where they go, what they do, how they hide, what they are, what life is like, what they think our world is like. Does she think we're stupid for, for, you know, everything that we believe Nessie is? I don't know. It'd be fun. And I think it'd be cool to ride her like Lapras.
Yeah, I knew you're going to get to ride her for sure. I don't think mine's a shock to anyone. I would absolutely 100% hang out with Mothman. We would chill. I wouldn't make him fly me around because I don't know if that's like something rude to do.
Have you seen those abs?
I mean, he can probably do it, but that's still really weird to be like, can I ride you? Like, as soon as I hang out with him. But I would ask him just like general questions. I would ask him.
He would not fly you anywhere, okay? If you said, can I ride you? It would turn into something totally different.
I mean, if he was down and I was down, like, when am I going to get that opportunity again? But I would be like, yo, dude, like, are you okay? How are you? Like, I would want to know how he's doing. And then once we, like, kind of got through, like, the more, like, personal stuff, I'd be like, all right, now I have some questions. Like, which of these things were pranks, bro? Like, obviously you show up and you're trying to protect people by scaring them away. You're this harbinger of things to come. Which of those things was like, I'm going to show it Timmy's 8th birthday party and just scare the shit out of everyone? Like, I think he's played some pranks in his time, but I would definitely want to hang out with Mothman. I think he'd be just so interesting to talk to.
I think definitely up your alley.
Yeah, 100%.
Wink wonk. Okay. Let's see.
Wink wonk means sex, for those of you who don't know.
What do you each think the world might look like in another 5 years? Anything you're scared might happen or that you're hopeful for? Why don't you go first? If you have an answer. If you don't have an answer, I can go.
I think in the next 5 years, it'll probably be very similar to how it looks now. I think people will be a lot more aware of how to prevent the spread of germs, because I think for a lot of time that we've had to spend in the last, you know, 2.5-3 years, we've been hyper aware of it. So that'll be, you know, a good thing. Whether or not anyone adheres to masks or anything like that, if things do continue to calm down, it's been like amazing to see the numbers on like deaths related to flu just dramatically drop, because people just generally wear masks when they're sick now. So I think that would be very interesting to see like how that plays out over the next 5 years. And I do hope that things kind of return to sanity, because I think being in quarantine like kind of drove some folks crazy and brought out the worst in everyone. And I think there is some leaders out there who definitely capitalized on, you know, stoking the flames of making people hate each other. And I hope to see that sort of fade away.
I agree that I think it would be very similar to what it is right now, because 5 years ago, it wasn't much different than it is now. I mean, we're not in spaceships or floating cars or anything like that, right? New iPad will be out in 5 years. Maybe I'll buy that one. Who knows? New technology always improving, right? But my fear is that history will repeat itself because that's what it does. And so things that happened decades ago are coming back around, and it kind of freaks me out a little bit.
What specifically? I think that's what scares me.
Like laws. Laws are changing, and they're similar to what they were back then.
Gotcha. We're taking steps backward as society and becoming less tolerant to people who have nothing to fucking do with you, type of thing.
Yep.
Yeah. That is sad. All right. Let's hope that doesn't happen. Fingers crossed. We'll see you guys in 5 years and see what happened. This one I saw and I was so goddamn excited for. Okay. I'll let Robin go first unless she wants me to, because I've already thought about this. Who would you choose for a dinner party? You may choose five each, alive or dead celebrities, and why those people. Do you want me to go first? Do you think of your five?
Yeah.
My five. And I thought of this immediately. As soon as I saw this question, I was like, I'm not changing it. I'm committing to this answer. The McElroys. So I want Clint,
those
Justin.
Are three already.
Clint, Justin,
four.
Griffin,
oh my God.
And Travis, and Jesus Christ. Those are the five people I want at my dinner party. And I picked them specifically because I think they would all enjoy hanging out together. The McElroys are all actually very educated when it comes to religion. And I think they're probably the most wholesome and funny people that I could have around Jesus. So he would be like, man, it was so much fun hanging out with you guys.
Oh, man. Those are good. Those are solid. Those are very solid choices. I have no idea who I would want to pick because I don't necessarily have that. I've never really said, you know what? Oh, I think this celebrity is so cool. Or this historic figure. I don't really think about that kind of stuff. I'm very.
I feel like Robin would just pick five celebrities she wants to bang.
No, I would pick like Steve Carell because I think he's absolutely hilarious, and like Jason Sudeikis because I think he's absolutely hilarious. I would want to pick like one of the many women in history who stood up for women's rights, because as you know, a woman myself, I don't have that type of courage or bravery. And what, like, these people get inspired by to do the things that they did, you know? And there are so many. It's just hard to pick. But yeah, I would do, you know, some clever people, some funny people.
And some important, you know, historical
one
figures.
Side of me would be like, oh, haha, great joke. The other side would be like, so tell me this, you
tell
know?
Me about your struggles.
Yeah.
Right on. Those are good. I like that. It's kind of hard to put you on the spot with five people. I honestly thought yeah. You were going to pick immediately some celebs that you just wanted to hang out with, but right on. All right. Back over to the Facebook questions.
All right. So what do you see in Scarish's future? So will the uploads remain constant? Will you get more fun stories to fill in the gap of story time, or will you guys take a hiatus? I think we need to work on the second story arc for our D&D campaign. I really want to do that. I think those were really fun to do. And I think the people in our lives are very funny.
Yeah, I agree.
So, yeah, I really want to do that. I think the uploads will remain the way they are now. Sometimes we have to take days for ourselves because mentally we do need to worry about our own mental health. And if it's something where we need to push an upload a day, that's what we're going to do, because the older we get, the more I find that that is much more important.
Yeah.
So
I would say the uploads will be consistent. Like, we'll have an episode per week, but like Robin said, we switched our launch days from Tuesdays to Wednesdays based off of our schedule. We've been pretty, you know, dedicated to adhering to that, but Mondays are pretty fucking rough for us now, so it's a very hard day to record, and weekends are a little bit too busy for us to try and record a couple days in advance. So having the Wednesday releases is a lot more helpful, But every now and then you might get a Thursday release. So that's what I will say about that. As far as the future goes, we want to continue to make content and just have it consistent. I would love to have the second group, you know, come out for the D&D campaigns, Bloodlines. And I definitely need to toss up the last episode. I think there actually might be two, depending on how much material we have left in the can. I was trying to time it so that when, you know, Bloodlines episode or arc one or whatever we want to call it ended, then the second one would begin, because the second one's supposed to be a live show. And then again, the logistics of that and people's schedules, just like playing D&D, it's like you have to get five people's schedules that all align correctly. But then we had to actually sit down and go over like sound testing with a bunch of folks who are not exactly set up for professional sound, and then figure out when we could stream. And, you know, there's a lot of stuff involved in that, but I would really love to get that up and running. And honestly, in the future, I think I'm going to dedicate some cashola towards advertising over there on Spotify. We did it once before and it worked out very well for us. We didn't have a lot of money at all to advertise, so it was just like chump change to just sort of try and get some impressions and let people know our podcast existed. And I think I would like to do another campaign over there on Spotify to try and, you know, make more people know that we're there. Spotify has been, you know, our bread and butter when it comes to finding new listeners. And I think it's a wonderful platform. So I think I'd like to invest some into that to see if we can get more people on board that are new, and get more stories, because we definitely would like to bring back story time. I was very disappointed when we ran out of stories for that. That was probably one of the harder things we had to deal with this year, because like story time was consistent every single week. And it's nice to hear the listeners' voices. So hopefully we have that stuff happen in the future. So this one's kind of fun because I've been watching a lot of Mythic Quest on Apple TV recently. If Scarish were to be made into a video game, what type of game would you want it to be?
FPS.
First person shooter?
Yeah, straight up.
Describe the gameplay. How would that work?
I think it would be Ghostbusters-esque, where it would be incredibly funny and incredibly entertaining. I think it would be jokes galore, but it would be an FPS in like... we would be shooting goo, okay?
Wow.
At, like, ghosts and stuff.
So, similar to your idea, I would have mine be about shooting goo also. I think I would have it, like, isometric top-downs, like Diablo style.
Okay.
But I would have all the levels be, like, different haunted locations or houses, and you would play as the ghost. And your goal would be to scare the shit out of people without being, like, observed or caught. Oh. And so you could do a bunch of stuff to scare people out of the house, but like if they were able to detect you on any of their like different instruments that they have, and you know, if you proved that the afterlife existed because you fucked up so much, that's how you would lose the game. But like, you know, you could probably make it into like a 4v1 style thing too. But I think that'd be kind of fun.
Yeah. I like your style. The isometric idea. Great.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate that. I like FPS too and shooting goo.
Yeah, I love shooting goo. Anyway, okay. So this next question is something that I think we've already sort of covered, but a topic that's off table for you both, which we've covered, or your favorite topic of 2022.
I didn't really talk about off the topic tables. We've talked about how we have some stuff that's taboo. I will say one of the things that I've like definitely avoided talking about is anything QAnon related. We've had some stuff pop up on our Spooky Friends group or in our communities that was like QAnon conspiracy theory shit. And I think everyone that listens to the show knows that I'm very careful with conspiracy theories because people believe them so deeply that they can be pretty crazy and very, very aggressive. It's been very hard to moderate like some of the things that have come in because it's very nasty shit that's like very accusatory to some of the members of our community. So like I've had people be like, why haven't you covered this or that or this? In my personal life, I'd be like, because I don't want to. The same way that Robin's just like with fucking Scientology. Like, don't no. Me. Like, there's a lot of people who have already covered that. And maybe when things are like with QAnon, like maybe when it's like more of a post-mortem than like we're still living in that world, I can go back and sort of look at it. But right now it's like, don't fucking at me for sure. Like, that's the mindset. Like, that's the one I think that's taboo for me.
All right. Nice, nice, nice. Favorite topic for me, 2022. I think it would have to be all of the stupid games, paranormal games.
Paranormal games are so much fun.
They're fun. They're just, they're not necessarily real, but I think they're very fun. I think they're cool because in my head, I create this whole entire movie, right? I create an entire movie in my head about it, and it's just fun.
As everything's being described, I'm like setting the scene in my brain.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. All right. So this next one is going back to some cryptid stuff. If you could choose any cryptid slash creature of any kind to be scientifically proven to be real tomorrow, which one would you want to be proven and which one would you least like to be proven?
I think Bigfoot needs to be found already and proven to be real. I think that one is a must. The one that I don't want proven to be real, like I want to keep a mystery, is like the Jersey Devil.
Hmm. Okay. Jersey Devil is super fascinating.
Yeah, I think that'd be cool to keep as a mystery.
Which one I want to be proven is definitely Nessie. I would love Nessie to just surface and be like, yo, I've been here the whole time. Also, I speak
English. I'm a dinosaur.
You know, I just want to go for some rides, $5 a pop. And which one I most least want to be proven is the fucking Lizard Man of South Carolina. I'd love for them to come out and just be like, yeah, it's fake. But then they keep having their fucking thing and it just gets more popular. Because just researching that one, like so many sites take it so seriously. And then you see the pictures, it's like, this is not just a dude in a suit. This is a dude in a suit that's sub Power Rangers. Like level of authenticity, it looks so goddamn fake. All right, next question.
Scariest thing that's ever happened to you?
That's a really good question because it's not even scary-ish related, just scariest.
Depends on what type of scary, because I think I almost shit my pants when that battery exploded in the fire alarm.
Describe the scenario because a lot of folks don't know what you're talking about.
Because I was sitting in the office by myself, Adam was at work. His mom was downstairs, and I was in the office by myself, just chilling, just on my computer, just doing whatever, right? Doing my thing. All of a sudden, I hear, like, an explosion, and the fire alarm just goes off. So, because there's one in our office, and our office is small, and so that's all I hear is this loud, screeching fire alarm. And I run out of that room, dude. I thought something exploded in there. It was awful. I was so terrified. I ran downstairs and I'm like, hyperventilating. It was just terrifying.
All right. I think for me, the scariest, I think I have two things that come to my mind when people ask me what's the scariest thing that ever happened to you. Number one, we took a flight on United going back to Chicago. We missed the runway. And when we banked up to prevent us from, you know, crashing into Lake Michigan, it was like the steepest angle I've ever been in an airplane, to the point where I was like convinced I was about to die. And since then, I don't have it as bad anymore, but I had really bad anxiety in planes when landing because I was convinced it was going to be that same experience again because it was awful. Having no control and suddenly being pitched back that far while the fucking plane throttles up and you have no idea what's happening because you thought you were just about to start disembarking is just a terrible feeling. And I absolutely hated it. And then I think the one I had control over that scared me the most was when I was younger. I was like 16, 17, driving around in the Midwest during a snowstorm. My car was filled with my friends, and we were on one of the busier streets where I grew up, and it's like got a 55-mile-per-hour speed limit. And when it snows and it hasn't been plowed yet, you basically follow the trenches made by tires. And like if you get outside those trenches, like you get slowed down because you're basically like driving into a snowbank, you know? And I remember driving like everything's fine. Like I have new tires. I'll be all right. And then there was a car that was like further up ahead of me that went into the ditch and just like got super fucked. And then the car behind him followed him into the ditch and hit him. And so I was just like watching this accident unfold. And the closer we got, the more I started to realize like the ruts in the road that I was following were now leading into the ditch. And so when I crossed over, I had to like drive over the ruts into the snow and try and make like new tire marks essentially. And I had my wheel, so like you're just driving at 10 and 2 or whatever. And slowly I had to start turning like to the right to avoid like going into the ditch because like the tire tracks are starting to pull me. And I had to keep going and keep going until like the hand that's supposed to be at 2 o'clock was around like 7. And my wheels were literally turned like as far as I could fucking turn them. And my car was still moving straight because I was basically like skidding at like 65 miles an hour. Surrounded by cars, trying not to like suddenly catch traction and shoot into another car to my right or go in the ditch and get into a really bad accident. And like everyone in my car was just talking, like they didn't notice what was happening, but I'm just like driving, like trying to keep my shit together. And I remember thinking like, we might be about to die. Like, cause my wheel was just,
why were you
so
going
far.
So fast?
Cause that's the flow of traffic. Like I was going with the flow of traffic so that like someone wouldn't rear end me.
And then suddenly I caught traction. I just like whipped my hands back and the car like shook, like it fishtailed for a second. But luckily I was driving front wheel drive and my friends all freaked out and I'm like, we're fine. But like, I think about that moment a lot when I'm driving. I'm just like, God damn, man. Like that scared me so, that's like the most like time has slowed down and I lived in a moment in my life, especially when driving.
Okay. I'm just going to go into this next one so that we have something nice to think about. Favorite moment in your life?
In my life?
Yeah.
I don't know. Do you have one off the top of your head?
I think I don't have any single favorite moment. Maybe the birth of my first child will be one of my favorite moments. But I think any time I've gotten to spend with my family these past few years, getting to kind of reconnect with a bunch of them, have all been my favorite moments. I think hanging out at Disneyland with my aunt and my cousin was really fun. Anytime we've gotten to spend as a big group going out doing stuff, I don't know, I just enjoy spending time with all the people that I care about in my life.
Yeah, I think mine is very similar. I don't have like a single moment that was like amazing. I think part like a string of moments together that's probably my favorite is going to Japan. Like the two of us going to Japan was like just an amazing experience start to finish.
But it was just like that whole summer was insane. It was like Japan, coming back from Japan, jumping straight into E3.
Getting fired. That's how it went for me.
Oh, God, yeah, I forgot about that.
Working on my vacation to train my bosses to take over my job and getting fired at E3. While I was at E3, when I got hired while I was at E3, it was just like a full circle thing.
The way he told me he got fired, though, was so stupid.
It's because like they called me and they're like, hey, can you come back? Like, I know you're on a vacation that we approved, but can you come back on Wednesday? And I was like, I'm not supposed to be back until Monday. And I was like, no. And it's just like, I can't do that. And like, they're like, well, we really need you to. And I was like, all right. So I had to tell her on Monday, like, I think I have to go back. Like, you can stay, but I think I need to go back and then maybe you can catch a flight home. And then they did the layoffs. They did the layoffs on Tuesday. And like, they weren't talking to me. Like, all my friends were sending me text messages like, goodbye forever. Or like, goodbye at Tesla forever.
Goodbye forever.
And I was just like, I messaged my boss. I was like, hey, if the reason you want me to come home is to fire me, I give you permission to do it over Zoom so that I can stay on my fucking vacation with, you know, the person I love. And so like, he acted like he was typing to me. So this is like, you know, so-and-so is typing to you. And it, like, popped up and went away and popped up and went away for, like, 20 minutes. And then finally they're like, can we call you? I was like, sure. And then they fired me. So that was intense. But, yeah, favorite moment. I will say, too, there's a lot of times where, like, I'm very content when I'm, like, resting after a long day. If I have, like, the dogs are there and Robin's there and, like, we're watching something we like, we're both very comfortable. And, like, I can just, like, lay there and, like, just say, like, I'm really happy right now. Like, I'm really happy in the moment I'm existing in. I've been blessed with the ability to recognize that a lot of times. So I'll just say out loud, like, this is a good moment. And when I think of, like, your favorite moment, it would be just a bunch of those.
You're just like, click, mental picture.
Pretty much. Like, this is what happiness feels like. Like, allow yourself to feel this so that you don't get all super depressed all the goddamn time.
All right, your turn.
Cool. Mine is, have any countries stood out to you since doing all your research? I love the Eastern Asian myths the most.
I think Japan is the scariest place to want to live in.
I agree. When I think of scary stuff,
because Japan is definitely top of the list. Because I think that shit is haunted as fuck. I think because that culture is so repressed and there has been a lot of war, a lot of death there. And I think it's such a strong culture when it comes to their beliefs that there are spirits and demons and stuff there that are just a million times more terrifying than something that could be invented in America. So like the grudge, right? The idea of the grudge is absolutely terrifying. It's just a curse, you know, that can be felt so deeply that it infests a home. It's just horrifying.
There's so many things we've covered from Japan where I'm just like, geez, like this is scary as shit. And it's such a foreign culture to me. Like I'm trying to learn more about it, but I feel like because of that, I feel confident if I confronted some of the things I know from the US, I'd be okay because I'd know a way to act or behave or prevent myself from dying. But there's like certain things are like the slit mouth woman. Like if you like talk to her or you're polite to her, like she'll kill you. Like you're supposed to throw fucking rice in her face and run away. Like it's something that I wouldn't normally do. So there's a lot of things over there that definitely freak me out.
Yeah, I watched a video today about these people, these recluse, right, people. And they just don't have jobs. They don't go out. They don't do anything. They live in their homes until the day they die. And they die alone. And a lot of the time, no one even knows that they've died. So they're there by themselves in these homes for days until someone realizes that something's wrong. And I feel like because that happens so often, there are all these homes that are just straight up haunted as fuck. And a lot of the homes in the countryside, I feel like, are potentially haunted, whether that be by the people that die in them or the forest spirits that just take over because a house becomes abandoned in the countryside, you know? So it's just something, I think that country freaks me out a little bit, like the idea of living there.
It's also the one that we want to go back to the most, so.
I know. I know. Anyway, the next question is, do you fold or scrunch? I don't even know what that means.
This isn't, and this is a great question. This is in regards to toilet paper, which when I first heard about this debate, I asked Robin and we realized we were in different camps.
You and fucking fold,
I was dog. I was told I was a monster.
He's a scrunch person.
I was a scrunch person until I was shamed into folding. Scrunch just seemed to get like
think about it.
The okay, hard to reach places.
You scrunch it and then you have all this paper that is not organized or folded. It is just bald. You wipe your butt and then now the poop is all over different parts of this paper.
Here's the thing. When
you let the paper go and it spreads out, as a it's not organized.
Scruncher, when you scrunch and you press, it flattens out. But it just means there's like ridges where if you have an ass crack like a Brillo pad, like some of the hairy people in the world like me, it holds up a little bit better, especially since there's different preferences in toilet paper because some people like stuff that's more durable and some people like stuff that's more soft. It depends on what you wipe. I need something that's more durable so that it doesn't just turn into fucking powder in one swipe. So this your technique also is determined by that. So I now fold and everything's fine. But I, you know what I would say? What I would prefer is a bidet. And then you just use like one swipe, regardless of scrunch or fold.
Or a wet wipe or something.
To get rid of whatever excess moisture exists. Also, wet wipes that you can't flush. And I think so many people use them and then they flush them.
Stop throwing your wet wipes in the toilet.
It's hard to wipe your ass and then throw it in the trash. It just goes against what you've been trained to do.
Put a fucking bag in your trash can. Don't throw it straight into the trash can. That's mean disgusting.
You're going to have a trash can in your bathroom that has a lid on it, first and foremost, or else you're going to have your shitty rags there.
Have a trash can with a lid. Two, put a bag in your freaking trash can. Three, do not throw your wet wipe in the toilet. It does not matter if the container says, quote unquote,
flushable. That's bullshit.
It is not flushable. I worked in a water reclamation facility. That stuff does not go anywhere. It gets stuck. It clogs systems. It sucks. Throw it away. I don't care.
Okay. This has been toilet time with Adam and Robin. It was a good question though, and I was appreciative of it being asked.
All right, your turn.
All right. Did you ever think you would still be doing this now and have created such an amazing community through it?
I'll admit no. When we started, I was like, you know, this is fun. I didn't think that we would be doing this 5 years later.
Yeah,
I
hoped and dreamed that it would be a successful show, having come off of a very unsuccessful show. It is not at the level of success, obviously, that you dream of when you make a podcast. You want to get on the My Favorite Murder, you know, any McElroy show level. But we are also not fucking famous people.
You know, like a lot of the most famous podcasts come from people that are famous or know people that are famous that they can have on as guests and shit like that. Even the McElroys have Lin-Manuel Miranda, you know, and it's just like we submitted to Maximum Fun Network to try and be a part of it twice. The first time they ignored us, the second time they wrote us back and they're like, you know, your numbers are very impressive and it's even more impressive because you have zero connections within the industry. That said, no. And then they're like, if you guys develop a new show, reach out to us because we'd be interested in hearing what it's going to be. But I honestly didn't think we would last 5 years. I knew there was enough material where we could last a long time, but I didn't really sit down and think like what the shelf life was in a show where you're covering scary shit. So that's why it's like really helpful. I foresee more true crime on the horizon because we're kind of like dipping into the well of like lesser known cryptids like someone's Uncle Bob told them about once. Because there's not a whole lot left in there. But there's still a lot of shit to cover. So I'm very happy that we are still doing it. And I still can't believe the community that built up around us. It's just like the most amazing group of supportive people we could have ever asked for in our lives. It really is.
I agree. There are a lot of people that we've met through this show that I think I'm very lucky to know. Like, Faye, to me, is like a celebrity. Okay. I just think she is so stinking cool. And if she signed something or if she made a painting and signed it, I'd be like, hell yeah, I'm putting that on my fridge. You know, I think she's just so cool. But there are a lot of people that we've met through the show that are amazing.
I'll just put this out there because of how lucky we are from the community. I have gone through lists of people to invite to our wedding. And we've updated this list to like say like how many people can we invite? Who should we keep? Who should we get rid of? Based on like how your life changes, you know, how things go. And I've taken people off that are friends. I've taken people off that are blood relatives that are family and been like, I don't want to invite them. But I still have and have had for a couple of years now Glitch Grimm firmly on that fucking list. And I mean, I know his real name. I'm not going to say it here, but like I've known Glitch specifically through the show and like that's just an example of how lucky we are with that.
So cute. You're adorable. All right. Any haunted locations you would like to visit? Also, love you guys. haunted location. I still really want to go to the Stanley Hotel. I don't know if it's haunted. I just know that Stephen King was inspired to write The Shining there. And I think that would be really cool. Other haunted place. I wish the Queen Mary was still a place that we could stay on, right? I don't think you can anymore. I want to go to some castles in Europe.
Then stop rolling your eyes every time I suggest a Europe trip instead of a Japan trip.
We'll just fly from one end of the continent to the other.
For me, I definitely, you know, Stanley Hotel is a big one. I think that's one that, you know, as a podcast like that's like traveling, that's a good one. This is going to be like some insider information for you guys. I really hope to next year attend Dead Weird, which is in Deadwood, South Dakota. It's this thing that happens around Halloween, which I didn't know existed. They reached out to us, actually. One of the hotels nearby reached out to us this year. We tried to arrange something where we could actually go do a live show and record a couple of live episodes out there. It was the first time we were like logistically sitting down and figuring out how to do stuff and like just going through like what that event was going to be. And like all the haunted history in that area was like amazing. It's like it's fucking Deadwood, dude. Like, there's TV shows about all the people that have died there. And it was just like, I got super excited about it. Unfortunately, the logistics of it didn't work out because travel expenses and the time frame that we had was like a little bit too narrow. And we wound up having family stuff that would have canceled the entire thing anyways.
Yeah, that's very true.
So it was just like, it was not meant to be this year, but I really, really do hope next year we can like announce we're going to do the Dead Weird thing. We can give you guys plenty of time if you want to go to like acquire tickets and come hang out with us, because like we are very close. I kind of hinted at it in a couple of episodes, like we're getting close to an announcement, and then, you know, things unfortunately didn't work out, but I sincerely do hope next year we can book that, and it's something that we can do like in person. I think it'd be super awesome.
Yeah. All right, your turn.
This one's kind of funny. Which one would you prefer: have no nose but really good smelling fingers, or be blind and have a really nice smile?
No nose and really nice smelling fingers.
Same here. And I would shave my head and put 6 dots on my fucking forehead. You guys could call me Krillin.
I can't handle not being able to see. If I were blind, it'd be so difficult for me.
I have so much admiration for handicapped people that are blind. Yes. Because like to live that sort of life in the way that they do is so incredibly impressive to me because mm-hmm. I am so dependent on my sight.
Yeah. And I do a lot of art stuff and I don't think I can do it the way that I do it now without that. So, all right. What, if any, has been the downside of doing a podcast? No time.
Yeah.
Yeah. Lack of time.
100%.
That's about it.
It is a substantial time commitment. It is very stressful. And it's like, it takes up so much of your life. Like, it's not just we record, you know, once every so-and-so.
It's handling social media. It's trying to come up with, for me at least, new designs for us to try and think of alternative content we can make. And it's just us sitting around thinking, okay, what can we do? What else can we do? We're so behind on Patreon stuff and creating extra content for Patreon. And it's so stressful when we sit there and we're like, these people are supporting us. We really want to do something for them. And it takes a toll on our mental health.
It's really hard to try and be the kind of person who's like putting in extra time at work to try and get like a promotion or try and like get to that next step. And having to choose a couple nights a week, like, what thing do I not do? You know what I mean? It's like, mm-hmm. I have to pick something. And for the most part, it's like, I'm going to pick the podcast because this is like our baby. This is something we've been working really, really, really hard on. You basically always feel like you're not doing enough for one or the other. And it's really fucking hard. So yeah, it's just, you don't have a lot of time.
Wink wonk.
Yeah. You don't have a lot of time to do a lot of stuff. And like, when things were rolling for 4 years, it was like we would record on Mondays and Monday would roll into Tuesday. So Tuesday was an exhausting day. Monday was an exhausting day. We do the live show on Wednesdays. The live show would take up all your evening. So you'd come home and immediately you'd have to do that. I also forgot I edit the episodes. So like that takes up a substantial amount of my time when we're not doing it. And then Saturdays, we couldn't plan a whole lot of stuff on Saturdays until like after 3 p.m. because we were doing a live show then too. And it's a lot of work and like we get money for it. Don't get me wrong. But it's like if Robin and I both lost our jobs right now, we would not be able to do Scary-ish because we'd be fucking homeless. Like we would not be able to pay our rent. It's something where it just hasn't like taken off to the point where it's been able to pay our bills for us or anything. So it's a labor of love, but it's a lot of labor. So.
All right. Your turn. Question.
All right. If you suddenly owned a country, what would you name it? And could we all move there?
I would name it Lumeria. That is my go-to name for any, like, Animal Crossing town I make or anything. And it would probably be tiny. So you guys would be there, but miserable.
Based on the SimCity cities I've created, I would either name it Bonersville or Schittsburg. And I'd be more than happy to have you all move there.
Yeah. Don't come move to my town because I borrow so much money from Adam's town.
You think that if you move to a town called Schittsburg, it'd be pretty bad, but my towns are fucking killing it. And Robin was taking so much of my... I was sending like millions of dollars down the road to Robin's town.
Oh
also,
my
like
God.
SimCity 2013, I think is when that one came out. It's kind of cool.
Still good.
You can take like a big like chunk of land and you can have like 12 cities develop. And if you're playing multiplayer, your friends can develop their cities and you guys can send each other stuff. But yeah, I would be more than happy to have anyone who wants to move to my country come. All right, you're up.
All right. So what topics still haunt you or creep you out when you let yourself think about them for too long? Topics for me that bother me a lot are just true crime. Because the thing that is scariest for me is not ghosts or demons. It's the fact that people, real human people, are messed up. And they are horrible. And they do horrible things. Not everyone, but there are those people out there who just are awful. And I think the topics that I've covered when it comes to true crime are just, it is insane. Like the Kitty Cabin murders. Why would you do that?
Right.
It's just awful. But yeah.
I think for me, the ones that stick with me the most are definitely things that involve demons or demonic possession. I don't know exactly why that is. I think it's because I've just been so much exposed to like pop culture when it comes to ghosts or spirits. It would be, if I were a ghost, it would be because I died. There is an afterlife and I'm just still hanging out, whether or not like I'm trapped, bound to a house, anything like that. I feel like you still have your personality.
You know, so it's almost like a relief to think of that, to think like, oh, there's something out there where I can still be me, even if I'm like invisible and floating, you know?
Yeah.
So it doesn't fill me with anxiety. And it also makes me think like, we have people that have written us and they're like, oh, I have a ghost in my house, but like we have an understanding, you know, like, and I think that's because if it is a ghost, if ghosts are real and, you know, ghosts are the spirits of people who have passed on, it's because they're still them. They're just like, all right, fine, whatever, we live together, but I'm gonna slam some fucking doors every now and then. Demonic possession and demons scare the fuck out of me when I think about them too much. Cause it's like, when I go through the thought process, if I go to the thought process of, if this is real, like this is a literal malevolent entity that exists only to torment and destroy people. And the concept of that, if you think about it too much, is creepy as fuck. And I have some weird stuff that happens in the house sometimes, and I don't like to let myself think about that too much, because if I do, then the creepy stuff creeps me out even more. And then you start thinking about how demons feed on negative energy, so you're just making it stronger if you're getting scared, but you can't really control if you're getting scared unless you just don't think about it. So I think that's the one for me.
Nice. Yeah, I agree. That's horrifying. And I think demons kind of exist. I think they're real. Because there are so many that have been written about throughout history, and different cultures do mention very similar entities with each other.
Yeah, the specific characteristics of entities that have been mentioned from different cultures that didn't have contact with each other is creepy. And that's why The Exorcism is the episode that scares me the most. The true story behind The Exorcist, because a lot of the possessions I read, I'm like, this is, you know, probably mental illness or schizophrenia that's undiagnosed and being treated by people who don't want to accept that that could be the case or whatever. And I think that's pretty common. But the exorcism that they performed on that kid did not fit like any of the stereotypical things and any of the ways that you could identify some form of mental illness. And the details of it are incredibly haunting, to the point where it's just like, it's the one thing that sincerely makes me think. I'm literally getting goosebumps just thinking about it. Like,
Stop thinking about it.
It feels real having done all that research. I'm just like, cool. I think I did as much research as I could possibly do into this, and I never want to look at it again. Like, that's how much it creeped me out. All right, I think I'm next. What would you guys do with your time if you and your loved ones suddenly never had to worry about money or bills ever again?
I think we've covered part of that already.
For the show, but yeah, again, but specifically for us, what would we
do with
our
time? Invest.
What would you do with your money? What would you do with your time?
What I would do with my time if we didn't have to worry about money? I would focus on just hanging out, doing art, watching TV, traveling, just living my best life, you know, spending more time with my family. Like, I don't, because of how expensive everything is, I don't get to fly out and see my family very often. And I think it would be cool to go visit my family wherever they are, and go on vacations with them. Like, I would definitely be like, hey, fam, we got fuckloads of money. We're going to go travel, you know?
I think for me, this is going to sound weird and maybe a bit calloused and cold. If I didn't have to worry about money and my family didn't have to worry about money, that would mean to me that my mom and dad were okay, and that your mom and dad were okay, and that all the people I care about, because there's a lot of them, are set up, you know, they're good to go. It's like the whole lottery fantasy of like, I would buy all these people houses and get rid of all their debt and make sure they had money that would last them forever. If that was the case, I didn't have to worry about anything. I'd be like, cool, you guys are in charge of planning family vacations. We'll all go wherever the fuck we want and hang out for as long as we want. I'm going to go ahead and build myself a video game and try and create a media empire. And that's what I would do. Cause I'd be like, I have the time now. Cause like, I work very hard due to the fact that I feel a massive amount of responsibility to take care of the people I care about in my life. So like, if I get more money in my life, I think nowadays about how I can help my dad live somewhere better. Cause my dad doesn't live somewhere very nice, and it bothers me every minute of every day. So if that was gone and I could just think about what I would do with my time, it would be obviously spend more time with them. Cause like, I spend decent amounts of time with them now. Cause my mom lives in the same house as me and my dad lives 20 minutes away. So I'd be like, all right, you fuckers are taken care of. I can worry about you less. Like, I'm going to focus on like my dreams and ambitions for a little bit. And then just let me know what time you sequestered in my calendar and we'll go do that.
Yeah. I think it'd be cool if you could focus on making your game and making the stuff that you want to make, you know, spending that time being creative. Cause I know you have so many ideas and we just don't have time to do any of it. Like, I wish I could focus and make more art and, like, make my own website and do all that stuff, but I don't have the energy or the time.
And you know, money. Money is...
Yeah, and the money. Yeah, very, especially that, because I have to go work freaking 12 hours
basically a day. What it comes down to is, like, if you didn't have to trade your hours for dollars to pay your fucking bills, like, what would you do? And it's like, I would honestly want to keep doing the job I have, but I probably split off and just make my own company and just be like, all right, let's just keep doing this until I figure it out. All right, you're up.
All right. So has anything creepy happened to you since starting the podcast, and or has it been linked to a specific topic or story? I don't think I've had anything happen to me, TBH. Nothing weird happened.
I mean, you had the whole like tissue box incident.
Yeah, but that wasn't a topic or a story.
But it's something creepy that's happened to you since you started the podcast.
It did happen. It was weird, but I assumed that it was the spirit of a family member. I don't necessarily think it was scary or anything. It was creepy. It was at 3 a.m. in the morning, so that was weird. But I don't know. It didn't have anything to do with the topic or story. It's just something cultural, I think, for me.
Yeah.
So
I don't think there's anything specific to a topic that's really popped up in my life. I have had some creepy stuff happen where it's like some very odd noises happen when I'm in the house by myself, because like I can usually identify what's going on, like a few bangs, a few slams that had nowhere like that it could have come from, except it could have just been external. So I've kind of just like brushed it off, like it probably was something I just can't explain that's natural, and just decided not to think about it. And that typically only happens when I'm alone. I always blame the cat. And then I'll turn and be like, cat's right next to me. Fuck. And then our Xbox, we had an Xbox started turning on its own, which was clearly like a defect with the device. But the timing with which it would turn on would typically be around 3 a.m. And it would wake me up like every fucking night at 3 a.m. Just like, because it was a fucking super loud Xbox. And that's the only thing I can really think of that was like creepy. I replaced it just recently with one from a different room, and it doesn't happen anymore. So if it happens tonight, I'm freaking the fuck out. I'll tell you that.
All right. Your turn.
All right. I think this is the last one I have from Discord. So if you have any next steps / goals for the podcast or Scarish in general, what are they?
My goal is to add to the Hear Us Out Network and actually do Scene Missing, because we're going to be setting up a nice little entertainment area in our new place, which we are renting, by the way. We're not buying because we're broke as bitches. But it'll be nice to have a place where we can sit down, maybe, you know, actually take pictures for the podcast and have this area that we can watch our movies in and we can just focus on and sit down and just do it, you know?
Oh, yeah. Have microphones rolling and just do it. Yeah, I think next steps as far as like podcast Scarish in general, I would like to make things a little bit easier for us in the new place. Like I have a few things I'd like to change about how we record. I've mentioned it to Robin a couple of times. It's a lot easier to record when you're talking to someone when you're face to face. And for the longest time, we have been recording side by side. So I'm going to try and find an arrangement where we can set our microphones across from one another so we can get to look at each other while we talk, because that helps. Aside from that, set things up for Scene Missing, because we can finally, like, we have the time, we'll be together, and we can actually kind of fucking do it, which will be nice. And then outside of that, like, I have lots of goals that are very ambitious that I probably won't mention too many of, but I do want to finish up the Bloodline storyline, because I have a lot written for that, and it's pretty fucking cool, and it would be nice if I could just sort of wrap that shit up. So
nice. Now that I'm sitting here, I'm like, where are my notes from that one movie we watched? Because my notes were awesome.
We'll have to watch it again, for sure. But
I'm going to have the same notes, because I hate notes. That movie.
We watched, for the record, we watched Empire Records. And Robin...
Oh, you mean High Fidelity?
...despised it. So it'll definitely make a good episode one of Scene Missing, since the episode zero has already released.
What was episode zero?
Goodfellas.
Ah, yeah. Which you did like. So. Fuck you, pay me.
Fuck you, pay me.
All right. So non-spooky question. If you could have any job in the world, what would it be? And why?
For me, probably creative director of a gaming company I created.
So.
Okay. Nice, nice, nice. Something like something from Mythic Quest.
I say creative director because that's like the job that I would love to have in the current company I'm at, or a company that I would
like to go
to. But seriously, like, he has the job where he's like, he is in charge of everything that's going to happen in that game. And I have so many ideas, and I don't have anyone to turn them into a reality for me. I would hopefully be less of a fucking douchebag than Ian in Mythic Quest, who is just like, here's a great idea. Now you go and make it happen with like thousands of hours of programming and coding involved, and I'll just take all the credit for it. But yeah, that's for sure what it would be.
I don't know what I would want to do. I think I would want to maybe do something creative, or I don't know. I want to go back and get another degree, TBH. But I don't know. Any job in the world is big. It's like so many, too many options is a prison.
Too many options is like, a prison.
I could do literally anything, but does it depend on if I have the skill to do that job? Like, if I said, hey, I want to be the CEO of a company, is that going to be like, if I wanted to be new Fortune 500 company, do I need to have the skills to run?
Let's just say you could pick the job and you'll develop the skills.
I think I would want to write, if not write, to like come up with ideas for, like TV shows or anime. I want to sit in a room with other people and kind of be creative and come up with these fun ideas for things that people would want to watch, you know? I think that'd be fun.
I got asked, I'm getting interviewed, or I got interviewed, I should say, for my current job. It was like, you know, highlight, like, you're a superstar. We want to ask you all these questions. And one of the things was, if the gaming industry didn't exist, what do you think you would be doing? And I put down, I'd want to either be working for a company that's making the world a better place, or I'd want to, you know, work at a place that created entertainment in a way that made people happy. Because I think that's just like my ambition. And I think that's why we like Scarish so much, is because we get to do this, and we have gotten so much feedback that people enjoy it. It's like, this is our voice. We get to write our own scripts and be funny and bullshit with each other, and you guys seem to enjoy it. I was talking to someone who is very much like analytical on the production side of things a few years ago, and they listened to a couple episodes of the show, and they're like, this is really good. And I was like, thank you. And they said, you know, what do you do? You know, what's you guys and what's like someone else? I was like, oh, we do everything. I was like, we don't have any, it's just us. Like, there's no social media person. There's no marketing person. There's no editor. It's like us. We just divide up everything. And the first thing they said to me is like, okay, number one, you got to get someone else to write your scripts. Just bring in a writer. Just have them do your research. Have them write your scripts. Everything they said after that, I was just like, I'm not listening to them because they're a fucking moron. And I get that that was good advice, because that's how a lot of things work. Like, you watch Jon Stewart when he was on The Daily Show, and, you know, a lot of it is him. A lot of it is the writers he had, you know, making jokes, doing the research. But this is different. It's not like that type of production. Like, this is our voice. I cannot read a script someone else wrote me and like try and interject my joke into it, because my fucking scripts are my jokes. You know what I mean? Like, I build those into it. So it's
like
really
your stories, your elaborate stories at the beginning.
Yeah, like those are fun topics to do. And like, if I were to get someone else to write me a script, like if I got to a point where I'm reading it and I had a question in my head, like, oh, I wonder this, and it's not in there, I'd fire them. I'd be like, there, you should have thought of this when you wrote sentence A. Question A should have happened, which should have brought in fact B. And if I don't see that, I'm like, I'm just going to write my own script. There's no point in me asking you to, because like, my brain goes through a specific progression of thinking that if I don't like mesh well with someone else writing me a script, it just wouldn't work.
I think I would want to have someone handle social media. Yeah. Not literally handle social media, but like, make these videos for me, send them to me, I'll post it. Type of thing.
I think I'd even let them post it. Like, we need someone who can post consistent content. Like
I want somebody to make TikToks for me. You know what I mean? Like, can you splice us together, do our dialogue? 60-second
clip from our episode of us talking, you know, and they can just put whatever pictures they want in the background of the topics.
Taking applications
we're,
for
we're
interns.
We're already putting up fucking 9 pictures each week, you know? And, you know, there's TikTok is where people are at, man. Like, we have a fucking friend who's in the 501st, which, if you don't know, it means he's an official stormtrooper.
He posts a video of him dancing to a Taylor Swift video. He gets over fucking 2 million views. Like, that's incredible. Like, I have a friend who just posted him, like, lip syncing to some joke from a fucking stand up on Netflix, and he got 580,000 likes in less than 24 hours. It's like, those numbers you cannot fucking compete with. It's insane. But yeah, like, social media is very time consuming. Every Wednesday after the show releases, I'm like, all right, she needs 4 pictures. I need 4 pictures. I have to screenshot the Spotify faceplate of our episode. Then I have to go on Instagram, share it there so I can share it to Facebook simultaneously. And if that breaks, I have to do it again. I have to copy the episode description from Spreaker in a web browser on my phone. Then I have to put in around 50 fucking hashtags to hope we get a couple new people onto the Instagram that'll likely bounce off in a couple of weeks. And it's like, that's the one thing I do for the episode after it releases. Like, any other additional content that comes out on our fucking social medias, it's like, we have to try and figure something out, man. And it's exhausting.
Yeah. So taking intern applications, if anybody knows how to do all that stuff, that'd be
and
great.
And we also can't pay you. So
yeah, but you can say you did work for us. No, all right.
We're not going to be those people that are just like, we're paying you with exposure.
But that's us. That's the podcast. That's 5-year check-in. Thank you to everybody for sending us these awesome questions. We're so thankful. We were scared we weren't going to get any questions, and you guys blew us away. We're at an hour, over an hour.
Oh, yeah. This thing's going to be like closer to an hour and a half, I think, when we're done with the edit. By so we, I mean I.
We're really thankful for you guys, because we would not be here without you, and we wouldn't have gotten this far without everyone. You have all made this a really cool adventure. And shout out to Sam for being the first person to ever be like, hey, do a topic on this.
Yeah. Hey, I'm from Isle of Man. You should do a topic. I remember us getting that email and being like, is this real?
Someone emailed us.
Is this real? Is Isle of Man real? And then we looked it up. We're like, holy shit, it is. But yeah, this has been a wild 5 years, to say the least. And we'll see where we're at the next time we do an anniversary episode in about 52 weeks. So yeah, that's the end of episode 252, the 5th anniversary episode. So if you have any stories you'd like to share with us that can be supernatural, paranormal, coincidental, true crime, or extraterrestrial nature, we would love to hear them. Please email storytime@scarish.com or go to our website, scarish.com, click on contact us, fill out that form because it comes directly to us, or hit us up on our social medias. Facebook is facebook.com/scarishpodcast. Instagram is @scarishpodcast, and Twitter is @scarishpod. We would love to hear from you. Robin, for folks who would like to donate to us, how can they do so?
You can go to patreon.com/scarishpodcast. Those are monthly donations to your start at $1. You can also go to coffee, ko-fi.com/scarishpodcast. And those are one-time donations. And all your donations go to keeping this podcast going.
Indeed. So thank you to everyone who listens and supports us. You guys mean the world to us. We say it all the time. We really couldn't do this without you. This episode wouldn't exist without the questions you guys asked us. So thank you so much. I think that's just about everything we have for this episode. So Robin, why don't you go ahead and do your thing and sign us out.
Keep on creeping on. One more year, one more rotation around the sun. We're going to keep going. Hopefully, if the sun doesn't blow up.
Cool. Bye.
Okay, round 2. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.